Well, this is the last in a series of messages that we are preaching on Sent by the Savior. Remember, the Sunday after Easter, I lifted up the text from John 17 and 20 before Christ's death, where he said, "As the Father sent me into the world, so I send you." So every last one of us in this room is a missionary. Every last one of us is an apostle. Every last one of us is a sent one. And today, we're going to look at a text from Acts chapter 1, after the resurrection, right before Jesus ascends to be with the Father. The last thing he says is virtually the same words, but a little different package. And so in Acts 1, beginning with verse 6, listen to God's word. Luke says, "So when they," the disciples, "had come together, they asked him," that's Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" In other words, can you make it back the way it was when David was king? Good question. Here's Jesus' answer. Jesus replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority." In other words, none of your business. "But," he says, "you will receive power." The Greek word is dunamis, which is where we get the word dynamite. You'll have dynamite in your life when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. The Greek word is martis, which is where we get the word martyr. You will be my martyrs, witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Amazing. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" In other words, quit looking up. You've got work to do. Here ends our reading for this morning. God always blesses the reading and the hearing of God's word. Well, I did most of my sermon preparation this week, not in my office, but on the road, with the text that I just read ringing in my ears. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." I knew what that meant geographically to the first disciples. But what does that mean theologically to the first disciples? Well, Jerusalem first was that place where Jesus was crucified. It was the place where the power brokers of the day resided: Pharisees, Sadducees, Roman occupiers. It's the people that had influence and cachet. They'd get together to discuss things and then make decisions for everyone else. That's Jerusalem. Judea is that place around Jerusalem where the Jewish committed individuals resided. That's where the family and friends of the faith had their homes. Judea. Samaria, that's a little more complex to talk about. Jesus had a parable about the good Samaritan. That's an oxymoron, a good and a bad put together. How did these Samaritans get viewed as bad? Well, you have to go back to 722 BC. When the Assyrians overtook the people of God and took the leaders, the musicians, the craftsmen off to Assyria. Then in 587 or 586 BC, when the Babylonians took over Israel, they did the exact same thing. But they left the blue-collar workers in Israel, Palestine area, and over the years, those people who remained intermarried with the individuals around them, the Canaanites, the Philistines. And so when the leaders came back, they were no longer full-blooded Jews. They were half Jew, part Jew, partly committed to Yahweh, partly committed and allegiant to the other people around them. So the Samaritans, since that time, were fighting all the way up to the time of Jesus and beyond. And then you have that designation, the ends of the earth. Those were the Greeks. Those were the pagans. Those were the outsiders. Those were the strangers, some stranger than others. And so Jesus has this series of concentric circles. It is his mission and evangelism outreach idea to the disciples of 2,000 years ago. You'll go, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I thought maybe it'd be worth our time to wander around Houston to find out if there were equivalents to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth here. To wander around and look at where we're challenged and why we're challenged, who we're challenged to care about because Jesus cares for them. You will be my witnesses. What's a witness? A witness is someone who tells the truth, he or she, about what they have seen or observed, no matter what the cost. Why do I say no matter what the cost? Well, because this witness word is from the Greek martis, where we get the word martyr, and a martyr is someone committed to a cause, no matter what the cost. And so Jesus is sending these people out knowing when they go to Jerusalem, when they go to Judea, when they go to Samaria, when they go to the ends of the earth, it will not all go swimmingly. Sometimes it will cost them something. But they're invited, they're challenged to tell the truth about the good news. What would it look like to be a witness and to answer the questions and the needs of the people in these four areas? Well, as Dave said, I left the campus on Tuesday, and instead of going right onto Blaylock South, I took a left because you can't go right now, and I went 4 miles north, just north of 10, and ended up at the MAM office, the Memorial Area Ministry office, which this church started. With this church, because of our outreach and volunteerism, helps sustain going forward. And I got in line behind a person to figure out if someone on staff could show me around because I'm a pastor of a church that has ministry here. When I got in line, there was someone in front of me that kept looking back at me, and he finally got up the courage to say, "Who are you and why are you here?" I had jeans on. I thought I was blending in, but he knew I was a fish out of water. And I said, "Well, I'm a pastor of a church that serves Memorial Area Ministry with volunteers and money, and I'd never been here. So I wanted to learn about it." We'd given a bunch of bags of grocery for flood relief. And he paused and he said, "Which church?" I said, "Memorial Drive Presbyterian Church." And he paused a little more. And then he said, "I have no problem with God. It is some of God's fan club that I can't stand." We laughed a little bit. And then he looked at me and he was serious and he said, "But really, the people who come in here, the needs are so great that you and your church can take a lifetime and not exhaust all the needs. Did you know that the ReStore at the front of the MAM office does $1.9 million of service each year to help supplement their ministries? Social work, job training, resume enhancement, immigration support." I got done with the meeting wandering around and I walked across the street. There was a Valero station at the corner of Blaylock and what is it right there? Long Point, thank you. And I needed a Coke to do the rest of the day. And so I was coming back to get my car and a woman was walking toward me, saw me, chose to go on the other end of the street of Blaylock, that's a big street, just to avoid walking by me. It hit me that in that place, 4 miles north of our church, I was the outsider. I was the foreigner. I was the suspicious person. I drove around the area a little bit. You could see Polish convenience stores, you could see Korean lettering, you could see El Salvadorian markets, you could see Guatemalan things. It was a UN right 4 miles north of our church. It was the ends of the earth. Found my way back to the old Katy Highway, went west and went 2 miles and ended up at the corner of 8 and 10. Do you know what's there? A subsidiary station of Houston Community College. It looks like it's just a storefront there. But if you go in the parking lot and drive around, there's all kinds of classrooms there. There's a performing arts center behind there. There is a bookstore back there. Do you know how many students right now go to that branch of the Houston Area Community College? 8,000 students. West Houston, several of those, 20,000 students. Do you know in the Houston Community College Network, there's over 60,000 students getting their education there? That's bigger than University of Texas, Brett. What are the needs? What's the opportunity to witness there? I went to a little community board and I saw someone named Ray trying to sell an acoustic guitar. Said, no dents, no scratches, beautiful sound, hate to sell, $100 or best offer. Got me wondering, why does he need to sell his guitar to get $100? Is it for books? Did they just have a baby? Is it a drug habit? I don't know. What are the needs? Right there, right next on the community board, it was a support group for combat military veterans. And here was the tagline, fall in, don't fall out. And isn't that amazing that at Houston Community College, they were reaching out to people that maybe were suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Jesus cares about stuff like that, doesn't he? Do we care about things like that? Some of our members go to Houston Community College. Maybe more went to University of Houston or Rice. So I drove down later in the day, put my bike in the back of my car, got it out, and rode around the Rice University campus and over to Herman Park, beautiful area with the obelisk there and the theater that's outside. Back onto the Rice campus, and I rode next to a lady who was probably a young student, maybe a freshman, starting in the summer school. She looked like she was about 85 pounds. Her backpack weighed about 90 pounds. She was trying to walk like this around, and she wasn't even looking up. Her face was contorted in fear and in stress. As I rode my bike on the sidewalk, I yelled, passing on the left, and just startled her, almost ran into her. She went back to her convulsions of just thinking through what was going on. I ended up at an intramural field at Rice, and I got a little water, and I heard four guys as they were throwing a football back and forth about a party that was coming Friday night. I was listening just to try to get the address to find out where Sherry and I would be going for the party Friday night. But what they were talking about was that this party was going to be such a party that it was going to meet every need, they didn't say it this way, that they'd ever had in their life. That there was going to be this alcohol there, there was going to be these ladies there, there were going to be this opportunity for conquests there. And I thought to myself, these guys are so immature. I never was that immature when I was in school. I ended up in Rice Village, and there was this quirky kind of cafe area where you walked in and they had a picture of John Belushi in a sweatshirt that said college on it. You know that poster from Animal House? And I was looking and I saw 10 to 12 students on laptops or iPads with buds in their ears, just concentrating completely on a class deal or connecting with someone else or Googling this or doing that. And I thought to myself, how are they connected and what are they connected and what are their questions? What would witness look like for them? I was needing something to drink, and it was only about 80 degrees here in Houston. I'm being Houstonized, so I decided to get some hot chocolate. That tells you how much I've been Houstonized. And I went up and I said, could I have some hot chocolate? And the lady said, what kind of hot chocolate do you want? I said, well, what do you got? Here's what she said. We've got regular, we've got sugar-free, we've got cinnamon, we've got amaretto, we've got mocha, we've got supreme, we've got hazelnut, we've got French vanilla, we've got chocolate mint, and we've got raspberry. I said, I just want a plain hot chocolate. And she looked at me with disdain. And she gave me a cup that was like a bowl of hot chocolate. And I went back to my seat. It reminded me of the Bob Newhart show. Do you remember that show a long time ago where Bob goes into an ice cream shop one time and he orders a single scoop of vanilla in a cup? And they deliver it to him, to his table, four or five people. You think they're going to sing the happy birthday song or something to him. And what they sing is, single scooper, single scooper. This one is a party pooper. And I just felt like a party pooper when I got my plain hot chocolate there. But I was wondering, what are you doing when you're connecting and you're right next to a bunch of beautiful and handsome people and you're not engaging them? A statistic had come to my mind that 60% of people 25 years old and younger find their boyfriend or girlfriend or their spouse online. 60% right now. More interesting statistics, 70% If they break up or get divorced, it's because of online. If you're having a problem with your spouse or your girlfriend, you can always go on Facebook and find someone better who's going to listen to you, engage you, and affairs and things happen. So this technology is both a plus and a minus. How does it help us engage, and how does it help us answer the greatest questions of our life and faith? Reminded me of Walden. Henry David Thoreau was up in this Walden area, and someone was putting up telegraph wire next to his property, and he asked the guy who was doing that, "What are you doing?" And the guy said, "Well, this will allow people from Massachusetts all the way down to Florida to talk to each other, to communicate with each other." And Thoreau said, "What if they have nothing to say?" Just because we have the technology doesn't mean we know how to go deep with another human being or with God. What would a witness to these different groups mean? Well, part of it, I think, at MDPC is that we would be a safe place where people could ask questions. They could come with their deepest personal and faith questions, and they could come here to wrestle with other Christians. That we wouldn't just say it has to be all black and white and everything has to be all clear. No, this is a place where you can sort that out here. That you can come here for that. For that woman that was just burdened down under her backpack, I hear Jesus saying to her, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly, and you'll find rest for your souls." Jesus says, as we're yoked to Christ, he carries our heavy burden and gives us direction. That woman maybe needs to hear that. And these four guys out on the intramural field throwing the football around, I just think of the prodigal son who asks his dad to give him half of the inheritance and goes, according to the King James, and blows it on dissolute living. Ends up in a pigsty. He's a good Jewish boy in the middle of a bunch of pork. And he's wishing he could eat the pods that they have on the ground. And he comes to his senses and he realizes it's better to be a slave in my dad's house than to be free here. Everything without the Father equals nothing, and nothing with the possibility of the Father means everything. He wanted to be free and ended up enslaved. And when he went home and got enslaved to the Father, that's when he found his true freedom. Don't we need to share that to people? It seems to me students at all the schools are living in Samaria. They look like us. They're kind of like us, but they're not exactly us. They're growing up. They're becoming themselves. They're understanding their identity and their faith on their own. Are we going to help them at all with that? How do we witness? Not just to people to the ends of the earth, 4 miles north of here. How do we witness to people that are in Samaria? On Thursday, I got in my car and just drove around the neighborhoods close to the church. 30% of you live in the zip code of 024. Another 45% of you live in these other seven zip codes: 063, Halverson's, 042, 043, 055, 056, 057, 077, 079. That's 75% of us are in those zip codes. As I drove around those neighborhoods, a lot of nice streets, a lot of manicured yards, a lot of people out walking and jogging. I saw a couple members, waved at them, honked at them. A lot of speed bumps. You can't go very fast in the zip codes where most of our members live. You don't want to run into any children or do anything bad. Nice elementary schools, nice middle schools, nice high schools. But I know the people that are part of this church don't just care about keeping up with the Joneses. You don't just care about your kids or grandkids getting in the exact right school or being a part of the exact right sports team or being part of the exact right club. You don't just care about those things. You wonder about success, but you're also wondering about significance. What am I going to do with my one and only life, and how can I be blessed to be a blessing? Doesn't witness matter for those of us that live around the church? What would that look like to a neighbor that hasn't even thought about Jesus Christ, doesn't even know about the Bible, Old and the New Testament, hasn't even been part of a small group, but is hungering for something they don't even know they're hungering for. They just know that everything they have isn't enough. And you, strangely, according to Jesus, are going to receive enough dynamite to help them to life and it more abundantly if you choose to be a witness. Well, we've been to the ends of the earth. We've been to Judea. We've been to Samaria. How about Jerusalem? On Friday, I got into my car. I drove down to the Buffalo Bayou Park, that new $40 million addition as the entryway to downtown. I parked there. I got out my bike. I drove downtown, and I drove and rode up and down and intersected through all the matrix of downtown. We've got a great downtown. Aquarium, museums, skyscrapers, banks, courtrooms, lawyers and accountants and engineers and geologists, politicians trying to sort through how do we allocate scarce resources? How do we help people who are the least, the last, and the lost? What if someone is drowning in the water in our area? How do we get them out of the water? And how do we go back upstream to figure out why someone fell in? Or got pushed in? How do we stop that from happening here? What does witness look like that in that way? And then there's just business people that are trying to create a product or offer a service that is efficient and excellent and ethical. There are a lot of members of our church that drive downtown every day to work, to provide leadership downtown or in River Oaks, or in the Woodlands, or in Memorial City. T.S. Eliot said, God is the still point in a turning world. There's a lot turning right now with the recession, and is the crude oil going to go back to 100? It's up to 40, but it's been down to 28, and what's going to go on? And there's a lot of people wondering if they're going to keep their job, and can we reorganize, and how does things trickle down? And relax. How can we tell people that God is the one still point in a turning world? There's nothing else. Don't put your hope in anything else. Only Christ. And if it's in Christ, then you can weather and navigate and have direction through these mountaintop and valley floor experiences. And if you don't have that, you're in a lot of trouble. How can we witness to that here? It hit me like a ton of bricks that we assume that Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth is way over there. And it is. But it's not too far from here also. I mean, 4 miles north, just north of 10, is the United Nations. It's the ends of the earth. Just below Westheimer, 59. It's the ends of the earth. Within 5 miles of our church. You don't have to go to China to find the ends of the earth. Samaria is any college campus. Samaria is any college campus. How are we going to reach out to those people that are asking the most important questions of their faith right now? Judea is all around us. And about 3 to 5 miles west. It's not too far from here. Isn't that exciting? And a little bit scary? But Jesus says, you and I, we, because we're sent ones, because we're missionaries, because we're apostles, we have received dynamite to be witnesses in all those places. And you don't have to get a plane ticket to go. It's right around the corner. Not too far from here. Listen to Melissa.